Yo, what is going on? This is the Highly Advised Podcast. This is me and Big Cozy Too Cozy. Spence couldn't make it here this week because he has broken both of his legs, but he'll be on the couch watching the UFC card that we are about to talk about. Yes, listeners, this is not a normal episode. We kind of had to, you know, compact the week and talk about the UFC fight card that is happening on Saturday. Fight night, Aspinall versus Blades. How are you doing? Big Cozy, Too Cozy.
Well, I just want to say, listeners, thank you for those who are tuning in by listening, or thank you those who are tuning in by viewing. Make sure you follow us at the Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Advise Highly, and make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel, the Highly Advised Podcast. Make sure you like, comment, leave a review, tell a friend, all that and more. Definitely shouts out to Spence. Last week he broke his pinkies, but he got the pinkies healed, apparently. Now his legs are broken.
Unfortunately.
He said he can't feel his toes and he's been crapping himself. So I'm like, I hope he's okay. I hope he's all right too,
but yeah, he can chill out and watch this card, you know.
Yeah,
we have six fights coming on this weekend. They are making their return to London for what a lot of people would like to say for Paddy Pimblett, but we'll get to his fight later. First, we have
before you bring up the first fight, we should let the listeners know what we're actually about to talk about. You know, right. I know you said the UFC card, but like, you know, give it a little background for those who might not follow MMA.
Pretty much, listeners, this is the UFC fight night, London. I can't remember the number. There's been a lot of fight nights at this point in time. Yep. But after the success of the last fight night in London with also Tom Aspinall, Paddy Pimblett, and Molly McCann, they're all coming back and they're fighting. They're fighting, I would say, relatively bigger matchups, like for everybody, I would say. And it's going to be a good card. But the first fight on that card is Paul Craig versus Volkan Oezdemir. Now, listeners, I'm not going to lie to you. I am not the biggest fan of Volkan Oezdemir. I think he got a lot of hype after he knocked out Jimmy Manoa. And I thought that was cool and all, because, you know, the whole no time. And then he proceeded to lose. If I'm not mistaken, I think he might have got one win after that, or he might have lost twice. I think he's a little overrated, and he's fighting someone in Paul Craig who has shown himself to be, if nothing else, a finisher. I don't think he has time to waste time on Volkan. I think he's going to go in and finish him in the first or second round.
Well, I'm here looking at the records, listeners, as we speak. And the reason why I'm looking at things and all that, because I want to make sure that I get... So these fighters here, I mean, I know who Paul Craig is and Volkan Oezdemir, and I know other guys that's fighting on the card. But I, you know, as I'm given who I think is going to win the fight, you know, I want to make sure I get their record of their last five fights correct.
Of course.
So as I see Paul Craig and as I see Volkan Oezdemir, he's 2-3 in his last five, while Paul Craig is really 4 and not a loss, it was a draw. So 4-1 draw. But before that draw, it was a win. So he's really on a six-fight non-losing streak, if you want to say it like that. The way I see it, I'm picking Paul Craig to beat Volkan Oezdemir. I think Paul Craig has shown, hey, if you're not upper echelon level or you're not a guy that mixes up his game really well, and if you're a guy that makes a lot of mistakes, like I believe Volkan Oezdemir does in his fights, I think that you're in trouble to get submitted by Paul Craig. Now, will it be a first round submission? I don't want to say that. Volkan Ozdemir is a little tougher than the past few opponents that Paul Craig has been fighting. Not to knock his past few opponents, but it's just kind of like a, you know, as a tougher matchup for Paul Craig. Because Volkan Ozdemir, he's been around the block. He's fought top guys of the division. Yeah, he's not beating the top guys, but the fact that he's in there, he already has that experience of fighting better competition. Now, with that being said, I just don't think Ozdemir has – I don't think he has a lot to nullify Paul Craig's submissions. I don't think he has a lot to basically beat Paul Craig on the feet, because I'm not saying Paul Craig is some – as a world-class striker, but he's not some – I don't want to say he's absolute awful or some type of bum when you're comparing him to Volkan Ozdemir, you know. Right. But I'm not talking about Paul Craig and – Jiří Procházka or Glover Teixeira. I'm talking about Paul Craig versus Ozdemir. So right. I don't think the striking is such a big deal between the two. I do see Ozdemir landing some shots on the feet. I do, because Paul Craig is not some his defense on the feet isn't that great. But I see this fight where maybe not the first round, but the second round, he'll be able to drag Paul Craig down to his world and eventually get the submission.
I think that Ozdemir is going to be I don't want to say he'll necessarily go in there and just get knocked out in one punch. I don't want to, you know, disrespect him or anything like that. I just think that Paul Craig, I think while their skill set, at least on the feet, might not be that distant, I'll say that on the ground, I think Paul Craig has him most of the time. So with that being said, I just don't really see this fight going too long. You know, I think they're both, I don't think either of them are trying to be in there all night. That's what I will say. But
yeah,
my best. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said, yeah.
All right. So the next fight we have is Hannah Goldie versus Molly McCann.
So this is a fight. I felt like it's tailor-made for Molly McCann to win. I'm not familiar with Hannah Goldie. I actually haven't seen her fight enough. I do know that Hannah Goldie is a Dana White's Contender Series fighter, but at the same time, I didn't really see her fights in UFC. If I'm not mistaken, I think that she did lose a couple fights in UFC, but she also won. I think this fight is just a setup to build Molly McCann. I think that they're in London. She's the hometown fighter. After coming off that crazy knockout she had earlier in the year on the last London card, it's just kind of, this fight is there just to build her profile even bigger. You know, maybe try to get her to go on a run at flyweight. I think Molly McCann is going to win this fight. The knockout from that last fight, I don't think that was planned, and I don't think that's like a normal thing for Molly McCann to go out and knock out her opponent. Credit to her for pulling it off, because it was a good knockout. With this fight, I'm not going to predict a knockout. I just think Molly McCann probably wins this by unanimous decision.
Yeah, I'm kind of along the same lines as that. I think this is a pretty much a fight to build up Molly McCann. I think that they like to put fighters with certain types of records or like at certain points in their careers against up and coming fighters. Like Hannah Goldie is 2-2, and that's not to necessarily speak about her skill set, but with that type of record, hey, if you beat her, it doesn't look, it's an easy way to build you up without putting you into the deepest of waters. Right. So I think that this fight is a win for Molly McCann, but I also do think she's going to take it by decision.
Yeah.
So the next fight we have is Nikita Krylov versus Alexander Gustafsson.
Now, is this fight at light heavyweight or heavyweight? Because, you know, Gustafsson, he's been fighting his past recent fights at heavyweight.
This fight is at light heavyweight.
Okay, so he's returning down, meaning that he's getting himself back into shape and whatnot.
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead on the limb off of Gustafsson. Nikita Krylov is not bad, but I don't think he's a this is a good fight for Alexander Gustafsson. This right here is what I would say, this is a tune-up fight for Gustafsson. Hey, you know, does he still have it in him to compete at the UFC level where he can, you know, make another run at 205? Or if he can't beat Nikita Krylov, you know, should Gustafsson hang it up? Because I feel like this is kind of a do or die for Gustafsson, because he hasn't been winning lately. He can finish Nikita Krylov on the feet. I don't think Gustafsson, I don't see that though. I think that Nikita Krylov is a little tougher at this stage for Gustafsson in his career. And I think Gustafsson is going to probably win a hard fought decision. I give him the win, but I think it's going to be a hard fought decision for him. Because just basing it off his past few fights, he just hasn't been looking good. And I don't know if that's just, you know, he doesn't have it in him anymore. Oh, I don't want to say that because obviously he's cutting weight to fight at 205 again. Or what I mean is just like the fights that he's lost, has it taken a lot out of him, or has he just losing a step due to age or wear and tear? I think he does get the win because he, you know, on paper, he is the better fighter. But when he gets in there, he might – I just take a decision win. Don't be surprised if Gustafsson pulls off a split decision win.
I think that Gustafsson does take this fight, but I also feel like he is going to get a finish. I think this fight is more of a loser goes home type match, just okay, because of the states, the places they are in their careers. Yeah. I think that Gustafsson, he has a chance to actually try to make some type of comeback. I think the reason why they probably went down to light heavyweight is because he's like, hey, look, if I'm actually going to do this, I'm going to do this at light heavy. So I think that he's going down there with, this could be a tune-up fight for him, or it could be just a good fight for him. But like, either way, I see him winning this fight. I don't really see this fight going Nikita Krylov's way, because I think Alexander Gustafsson is just well-rounded enough and better on the feet in general than to just beat him. I think he has the skill set to beat him. While Nikita Krylov is actually a pretty well-rounded fighter himself, I do agree that he probably will be a tougher fight at this point in time in his career.
Right.
But I just think that Alexander Gustafsson, by strength of schedule and skill set, will take him.
I just think that Gustafsson, who's coming off three losses, his last fight being at heavyweight, granted, he lost to freaking Fabricio Werdum. Excuse me, listeners, for saying his past few fights were heavyweight. No, his last fight was at heavyweight, but he was scheduled to fight Ben Rothwell. But remember when Ben Rothwell, he got cut from the UFC for whatever reason. I don't know, listeners, you can look that up. But he got, you know, manhandled by Werdum. And Werdum, as you know, one of the greatest heavyweight fighters at MMA, period. So I think that, to me, the reason why I think this is a tune-up fight, because Nikita Krylov is not, when you're looking at him, he's not on the level of Werdum. He's not on the level of even Anthony Smith. Definitely not on the level of John Jones. And once again, not trying to disrespect him, but I'm just, you know, it is what it is kind of deal. Like, you know, you're comparing, you know, you got to compare him to these guys, and he's not accomplished as these guys. So I think that for Gustafsson, to me, the reason why I really believe this is a tune-up for him, just to see, can he still compete at a high level at light heavyweight? Because if he can't beat Nikita Krylov, then he might start needing to think to, you know, hey, I've lost four in a row, I gotta hang them up. So like I said, I've given Gustafsson a chance to win this, but I just think it's going to be, I don't think he's going to cruise control to a decision win. I think it's going to be a tough fight for him.
The next fight we have might be the people's main event. I'm just going to say it as the people's main event. One of the most talked about fights we had on ESPN and all the outlets and da-da-da-da-da. We've had Patty Pimblett talking about teabagging, Jordan Leavitt talking about twerking after the fight. This is what's going on. This is what it is. Patty Pimblett versus Jordan Leavitt. Patty Pimblett versus Jordan Leavitt. Wow. This is a pick'em fight. This is, to me, I feel like this is a good way to build up Patty Pimblett and actually see where he's really at in the UFC. Jordan Leavitt, I think he's a little bit of a well-rounded fighter. He's shown like some knockout ability too. Like he's an up-and-coming fighter in the UFC. I wouldn't say he's necessarily been tested either, but I think that's why it's good that both of them are fighting each other. Now, Paddy Pimblett, on the other hand, while I know that he's popular with a lot of people, I have not been impressed with in his fights. Both of his fights have seen him go through serious trouble in his fights. You know, both of his fights have been back and forth. While they're entertaining, I can't say that he's necessarily, you know, the next up-and-coming guy that's going to take it at a killer weight class like lightweight. So this fight is going to be interesting, but it's hard for me to choose. I'm going to say Jordan Lovett takes it in the second or third.
So I'm also choosing Jordan Lovett. The reason being is just I think he has the grappling to stop the hype of Paddy Pimblett. I know Paddy Pimblett might have the charisma behind them, obviously the fan base, because they're going to be in London, and even some American fans like him. I don't dislike Paddy Pimblett as much as maybe you do. And I'm not saying that as far as a person, I'm talking about him as being a fighter, but I am also not impressed with the Paddy Pimblett showcase in the UFC so far. Cool, the guy is exciting, but he's taking a lot more damage, making mistakes that I'm kind of like, if you're expecting this guy to be the next, you know, superstar cash cow of the UFC lightweight champion of the world, he has to really clean up his fighting. I think Jordan Lovett is going to kind of stop the hype train right now. And I don't think a finish is going to happen. I really think that it's going to be a decision for Jordan Lovett. I think he's going to pull the upset off and force Paddy Pimblett to kind of step his game up and eat a little humble pie. I'm not saying this is going to kill the career of Paddy Pimblett. I just think this is going to be a loss for him, and he's going to have growing pains, and, you know, eventually hopefully he'll come back much better.
The next fight we have is Jack Hermanson versus Chris Curtis. I think this is an interesting fight because Jack Hermanson is a pretty established middleweight in the UFC at this point in time with some pretty good wins under his record. And I think that Chris Curtis, on the other hand, is an up-and-coming middleweight with some pretty good wins on his record, other up-and-coming middleweights. This is an interesting fight because I would say that I want to say this is going to be a good challenge for Chris Curtis. I'm not sure if he's going to win this fight because Jack Hermanson, while he's coming off a loss, he's not necessarily the worst of fighters in the UFC. I think he's actually pretty decent, I'll say. You know, so I think this is going to be a good fight, but I think I am taking Jack Hermanson just because he's faced tougher competition. I think he has a little bit better of a skill set.
This fight here to me is a pick-em. I'm picking Chris Curtis. I think Chris Curtis is actually pretty good. He has to beat the honestly, I'm going to be really honest, right? They both, if I'm not mistaken, I think Chris Curtis, he has like over 30 fights. Jack Hermanson, obviously, he has a good tenure in the UFC, but neither of them really have like that really big middleweight name they have beaten in their career. Maybe for Jack Hermanson, you could say somebody like David Branch, because he did beat David Branch pretty handily, and I would probably say easily, but no disrespect to David Branch at all, but David Branch, I don't think David Branch was like in title contention for the UFC at all at one point. I think he was just another middleweight contender, and Jack Hermanson just handled him. I think Chris Curtis, he's been looking really good. Jack Hermanson has been kind of wishy-washy lately. That's what happens when you fight the best in the world. Sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. I think Chris Curtis is kind of the real deal. I'm not saying that Chris Curtis is going to walk through. I think this fight is going to be a tough fight. I think Chris Curtis is going to pull off an upset, just like Jordan Lovett against Paddy Pimblett. Because it is a pick and fight, you know, I'm not trying to sleep on Jack Hermanson. I'll just go with Chris Curtis. I think he'll walk away with a unanimous decision.
Now, listeners, we have our main event, which to me is pretty interesting. You have Curtis Blaydes versus Tom Aspinall. Tom Aspinall kind of on a, you know, hot rise in the UFC. while you have Curtis Blaydes, you know, kind of rebounding from a couple losses on a two-fight win streak. I would say that this is an interesting fight because Curtis Blaydes is showing that he's actually able to improve his skill set and put a little bit more stand-up in his game, and also along with his great wrestling skill set for the heavyweight weight class. Tom Aspinall has also shown himself to be a little bit of a well-rounded guy. So I think this is going to be a good test for both of them to see where they're at. I think if Curtis Blaydes wins, he's not too far away. I'll say if Tom Aspinall wins, he's damn sure not far away. Like he might be next up, like, or soon to be it. But like, it's going to be an interesting fight. I think I'm going to choose. This is tough. This is actually a tough one. I'm going to choose Tom Aspinall by decision.
So I think the winner of this fight, they're going to win by decision. I think this fight is a hard fight to pick. It's also probably a pick'em. When you look at Curtis Blaydes' record, you see he's only really lost to the champion of the world, which is Ngannou, and Derek Lewis. Two guys are the best knockout artists in the UFC, period, and essentially the guys with the craziest power in that heavyweight division. Outside of that, Curtis Blaydes kind of ragdolls his opponents, and now he's knocking opponents out, as you see with Dos Santos a long time ago, and recently in his last fight against Dawkins. I feel like people are kind of sleeping on Curtis Blaydes because right now they're on the Tom Aspinall hype. And Tom Aspinall is talented. The eye test will show this motherfucker can fight, and he can fight well. He's good. And I think that's something that the crowd in London can really get behind, you know, can get behind him. I think Curtis Blaydes is going to win this fight. I know I could be very wrong. I think the experience is going to get to Tom Aspinall. Tom Aspinall is not going to really have his way with Curtis in there. I don't think so. I don't think he's going to outbox him unless he hits him with a menacing, you know, overhand right or a hook that puts Blaydes to sleep. But I don't see him submitting Blaydes. I definitely don't see him out wrestling Blaydes or nothing like that. To me, I feel like this is going to be a fight where Blaydes' experience and its IQ shows, you know, he still has time to challenge for a heavyweight title. And it doesn't mean that Tom Aspinall's door is closed. No, it just means, hey, he goes back to the drawing board. He got some good rounds in. Now, when his next fight, he'll know what he needs to do to become a future world title challenger one day. But if Tom Aspinall does win, I think he's next in line for the title shot. Now, granted, I know there's some muddy waters at heavyweight right now. Is John next? Is Stipe next? What's going on with Francis? But I think if Tom beats Curtis Blaydes, I think he's next in line for a heavyweight title shot. Of course, he might end up taking one more fight because the heavyweight title picture is a little clogged up, but I don't think he needs to take another fight if he beats Curtis Blaydes. Curtis Blaydes, to me, you beat him while you're Tom Aspinall and you're on the crazy win streak that you are, especially a finish, man, oh, man. It's going to be hard. It's going to be very hard to deny Tom Aspinall a title shot. So that's if he does win. But I am picking Curtis Blaydes to pull off to win a clear-cut decision.
All right. Well, that's pretty much the whole card. Do you have anything else for the listeners this week?
Nothing in particular, but, you know, to make sure you tune in to the podcast next week. But what I did want to ask a series of bonus questions to you and make them lightning quick. So this way we're not spending any more time wasting the listeners' time, because I'm pretty sure they have to go to Walmart, clock in and deal with customers, whatever you got to do. But what I will say, those days were not fun. What I will say though, and I'm asking you is, just very quick picks of the recently announced potential UFC 280 card. And so just tell me the winner. Do not tell me why or get into it, because we'll save that for a later episode. All right. Bilal Muhammad, Sean Brady.
Bilal Muhammad.
All right. Sean O'Malley, Piotr Jan.
Piotr Jan.
Aljamain Sterling or TJ Dillashaw?
Aljo.
And then, of course, Charles Oliveira or Islam Makhachev?
I'm going to say Charles. Charlie. Yeah. Charlie Hollis.
Okay. Okay, that looks like a good card. My bad. I'm not trying. I mean, the listeners, they got not better to do.
Yeah, they're good. All right. Wild, listen.
Just two more fights, then that's
it. All right, what's up?
After this fight card, listeners, the next one, we might go into a little more in depth, but Kai Car France or Brandon Moreno?
Kai Car France.
Okay. Juliana Pena or Amanda Nunes?
Juliana Pena.
Okay. Well, that's it. There's nothing from my end. Listeners, thank you for tuning in to this unique episode. We should return to form for the next episode discussing the results of this UFC Fight Night card and probably go into a little more detail going into that Juliana Pena Amanda Nunes rematch. So I'll have nothing else to say. Relaxing Jackson. So there we go.
You can follow us at the Highly Advised Podcast on Instagram, the Highly Advised Podcast on YouTube, and Advised Highly on Twitter.
Make sure you hop on all that, because if not, we know that you're not healthy. We know that you're, you know,
spiritually unwell.
Spiritually unwell. We know that you like to smoke grass and you know, you don't have good hygiene. So make sure you follow us to prove to us that you're not those things.
With that being said, you have been highly advised.
Sha 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 sha.